Well, that takes quite a bunch out. But that's good. This week we're going to be emphasizing once again the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we look ahead to Easter, we will be spending the next several weeks talking about Jesus Christ, how he rose from the dead, how he lives today, and how he's going to return. It's not a really exciting thing when we find out what the scripture says about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's the truth. Are we living in the last days? Well, that's up for grabs, isn't it? We could be living in that time when we're going to have a great revival. Recently, we've heard about what's going on in Brazil. They're having so many people come to Christ on a day-to-day basis that they have had to start 15 new churches every day, so that people across the country of Brazil would have a place to go and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. That's hard for us to get in our minds, isn't it? A revival so large that they are starting 15 new churches every day. How long has it been since we've started a new church in this area? A long time. Not only that, young people in college campuses are coming to Christ. Now, not everybody is, but there are great numbers of young people who are giving their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. To me, that's very exciting. And the people who are leaving the church, by the way, are senior citizens. Tragic, isn't it? They were raised in the church. They were taught the things of the Lord. And then as senior citizens, they decide they're going to leave. At the same time they're leaving, young people are coming to Christ across college campuses throughout the world. Because of the glorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can know that what the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we praise the Lord for that. From the first church till now, Christians have always thought Jesus would come back in their lifetime. That started 2,000 years ago, but it hasn't happened yet. But I believe that we have seen all the prophecies fulfilled that need to be fulfilled in order for the Lord Jesus Christ to return. And so, like all the other situations, we believe that it's possible that the Lord Jesus Christ could return in our lifetime. Amen? Amen. That would be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it? Jesus was the victor over death. And he can be the victor over our lives if we let him. So, what does the scripture actually say about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? 2 Peter 3:3, and by the way, it was Charles Dickens who wrote The Worst of Times and the Best of Times, and that's kind of what we've divided this message into. And right now we're going to look at the worst of times. 2 Peter 3:3, a neat passage of scripture. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. I guess I gave you first. Yeah, that's the one I want. And then in 2 Timothy 3:1, the Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. And we see that more and more. We see a lot of teaching by people who are involved with demonism. And then in 1 Timothy 4:1, knowing this, first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. Now, in 2 Timothy 3:1, it says there will be terrible times. Now, that word is only used twice in the New Testament. In fact, it's only used twice in all of the Scripture. The second time that it's used, it's describing some guys who were terrible. It's found in Matthew 8:23. These two guys were wild and woolly. They had uncontrollable dispositions. They were involved in the last days of their lives, and they were fierce. They were onerous. They were dangerous. They were absolutely frightening. They were savage in many, many respects. And so the word terrible is only used twice in the New Scripture, in the New Testament. In fact, in all of the Bible. So Paul warns Timothy, after I am gone, things are going to get worse instead of better. Buckle up, he says to Timothy, because tough days are coming for you. Terrible times are coming. That's why Paul said, mark this. Don't be naive and think that everything is going to be okay. I'm afraid that that's what many Christians do. They think that if they ignore what's going on in the world, I don't watch the news because I don't want to know what's going on in the world. And if I don't know what's going on in the world, everything is going to be a-okay. It isn't. Doesn't make any difference what you do. Doesn't make any difference whether you watch the news or whether you keep up with what's going on in the world. That isn't going to change anything. What's going to happen will happen because it's in the hand of the Lord. And I tell you what, it's not going to be pleasant. There are going to be the worst of times. That's what the Scripture says. That's why Paul said, mark this. Check it out. Look at it. Don't be naive and think that everything is going to be a-okay. Don't hide yourself in some sort of cloak that doesn't understand what's going on. We need to know what's going on because it's our responsibility to preach Christ and Him crucified. And the worse the world gets, the more we need to preach Christ and Him crucified. So we live in a time where, as Charles Dickens said, we have the worst of times and we have the best of times. So as Christian people, we need to really be aware of our responsibility to preach Christ and Him crucified. The Bible talks about the moral collapse of the world, and certainly we live in that time. It would be nice if that didn't exist. Isn't it interesting to you that Hamas can take a family of four, two beautiful children, a husband and a wife, and murder them. Murder them. And what happens? One of the colleges in the United States concurs with that, and instead of saying anything about that murder, they blame Israel. I don't understand that, but we're beginning to find out that they had experts come in to rise up in that college and cause the students to hate Israel. And you know, three of the bodies were returned to Israel. The body of the woman was not returned to Israel until recently. And I won't even get into you, get in to under, you to understand what they do with a woman's body that has been murdered. It would make you puke. And yet we have students who concur with that. I don't understand it. I'm sure the Lord doesn't understand it. But the day is coming when all of that is going to be taken care of. In the last 2,000 years, there have been many periods of extreme spiritual darkness. And while we don't seem to get a hold of it, there's spiritual darkness today. The church is losing, folks, and especially senior citizens. Not young people, but senior citizens. Why? I don't know why. I guess they think, well, I've had enough. And it's been 2,000 years and the Lord hasn't come yet. So maybe he's not going to come. I tell you what, that's not the end of the story. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to come. There's another line of evidence we need to consider. Let's look briefly at another line of evidence. First, consider these words in Joel, the second chapter. So you have, on one hand, evil growing. On the other hand, we have a beautiful promise from Joel, the second chapter. And this helps us understand the best of times. And in the last days, it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Old men, I don't know how old, but they're going to dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So that's where we are. And it's time for us to wake up and understand that we live in a two-dimensional world, a world that is against the Lord and a world that is for the Lord. And while the church is losing today, we need to wake up and say, I'm going to be a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to work for him. There will be amazing signs if you study Scripture. Not only here, but in the heavens. Amazing signs that tell us that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come again. And I believe that all the prophecies over the past 2,000 years that need to be fulfilled have been fulfilled. I can't think of any, as I've studied the Scripture, that yet need to be fulfilled before the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Ah, what a great movement that will be. So right now, evangelism is what we need to be thinking about, bringing people into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Easter is a good time to do that. We'll have some brochures for you to give to people. You don't have to grab them by the nape of the neck and try to preach the gospel to them. Just give them an invitation. And we'll have information on that invitation about the Lord Jesus Christ. And whether they take it and throw it away, that's their business. But there'll be some who will accept your invitation and be here on Easter. It's a good time to think about evangelism and bringing people into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a parable in the New Testament in Matthew, the 13th chapter, verses 24 through 30. Jesus told about this farmer who planted his wheat, but he didn't know that somebody came along and planted weeds. And so all of a sudden he found out that weeds were growing with the wheat. And his servants said, well, what should we do? Should we pull up the weeds? And the farmer said, no, because if you pull up the weeds, you're going to pull up some of the wheat as well. So let it grow together. And they did. And the farmer said that when it comes time to harvest, we'll take care of it. We'll take the weeds and we'll burn them, and we'll take the wheat and harvest it and put it in barns. So the disciples asked the farmer, what does all that mean? What are you talking about? And the farmer said, here's what it means. It means that believers and unbelievers will grow together. And it's true. Christians and non-Christians live in the same world. We shop at the same stores. We eat at the same restaurants. We work for the same companies. We send our children to the same schools. Our job in these days is not to condemn unbelievers. That's not the point. We are called to be faithful witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we come across those who are unbelievers, we need to find out if they are interested in hearing the message of salvation. Sometimes they are and sometimes they are not. But that's their business. But a day of final separation is coming. And that's what this parable is all about. The Lord is going to divide the righteous from the unrighteous. And the unrighteous are going to spend eternity in separation from God, unfortunately. So it's our responsibility as Christians right now to share the good news of Jesus Christ. When the Lord makes this decision about dividing the righteous from the unrighteous, he'll make no mistakes. I'm so thankful that man doesn't have to do that, because we would make hundreds and thousands of mistakes. But the Lord will make no mistakes. He knows the difference between the righteous and the unrighteous. And that day is coming when he will make that decision. So what does this parable teach us about the last days? I think it suggests that there will be both good and evil. Evildoers will become more brazen as we move into the last days. There'll be more outrageous. There'll be more demonism. There'll be more false teaching. And that's where a lot of Christians get sidetracked, because they listen to false teaching without going to the Word of God and finding out what the Scripture has to say. So let's pray for revival. Let's pray that we can talk to people about their relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure that you meet people all week long who are not Christians. So what do you do about that? Do you just let them alone? What do you do? Let's believe that God still answers prayers. And we need to pray for those people we know who are outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. God desires that we pray for amazing things to happen. And they're not going to happen unless we are prayer warriors. We keep getting on the on our iPhones. Hey, prayer warriors, we have to pray for this situation. We have to pray for Connie Jarvis and her daughter, and we have to pray for this situation and that situation. And we want to do that, that's for sure. No question about it. But we want to pray for those we know who are outside of Christ and have the courage and the tenacity in some way to reach them for Jesus. We should pray for the gospel to spread like wildfire in this world. I'm so thankful that young people are coming to Christ. I'm so thankful for the revival in Brazil. I'd like to see a revival like that in the United States. It'd be a wonderful thing. If there's going to be a final harvest of righteousness, then we should expect to see hundreds of millions of people before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ the second time. Everybody I study says, yeah, there's going to be a great revival before the Lord comes the second time. I hope they're right. I hope that's true. As we rush into the final days leading to the coming of Christ, we should expect hard times on the one hand and good times on the other hand, as we have been told, the best of times and the worst of times. So, what does the scripture say? This is from Matthew 10:16. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He's got you in your sight, in his sights. He's got me in his sights. Jesus said, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. Be alert. Be aware as to what's going on. Be watchful as to what is happening in this world. The last days will be a time of confusion and spiritual delusion. Be aware of the Antichrist that is already in the world. He tries to make us think that there isn't anything like sin and that you can just do whatever you want to do whenever you want to do it. That seems to be the emphasis that the Antichrist makes. Pay attention. Please don't be naive. Bad things can happen because Satan is at work. We need to expect that. If you are living near the coming of Christ, we ought to brace ourselves because there's going to be evil. The coming of Christ doesn't do away with evil. In fact, it increases evil. The worst is yet to come. The moral compass of the world is pointing in the wrong direction. I think you know that. The risen Christ is your only answer. Spend time reading. Out on the vestibule, there are some papers that have been put together by Gwen that give an outline of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, pick up one of those papers. You will really be blessed by studying it. Know that Jesus is the victor. But thanks be to God, from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 57 through 58. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Listen, Jesus conquered death. He shed his blood. He's alive. And he wants us to be alive in his hope. The church has always done its best work in hard times. If you go back and look at history, whenever it's been the most difficult for the church has shined the brightest. And we may be in that situation right now. Christians ought to be bold and open about their faith. They shouldn't be afraid to talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Raise the flag of the Lord Jesus Christ high above your head. And when you meet somebody, you don't hammer them. You lovingly and kindly ask them about their relationship to the Lord. Believe in your heart that God has great things. Man, I'm so thankful for our children because they are unafraid to talk to people about the Lord. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. That's found in 1 Corinthians 15, 57 and 58. As things get worse, we need all the more to know that Jesus Christ has won the victory for us. Isn't that wonderful? He's already won the victory for us. We simply must stand firm and trust in him and do what he has asked us to do. I see that my time is gone, but I have a lot more to say, but we'll make it for another time. So let's review just briefly what we've said. I believe we are living in the last days in which both evil and good abound. It does not take rocket science to figure that one out. But as we look at items from CBN and from mission groups, we see God working and revival coming throughout the whole world. We have two things going on. We have people leaving. We have people coming to the Lord. And I'm so thankful for the young people who are giving their hearts to the Lord. I think thousands were baptized in California not too long ago. Wow, that's an exciting thing. Above all, whatever happens, we know that Jesus has won the victory. And we also are victorious as we are in him. So when Charles Dickens wrote, it was the best of times and the worst of times, that's really true. We have both. Now, I'm going to offer a different kind of invitation this morning. It is not an invitation to accept Christ as your personal Savior. We're fighting a battle. Christ has already won. The Lord is looking for some soldiers who will serve in his army. Would you answer that call? As we sing our hymn of invitation this morning, would you say, yes, I want to be a soldier and I want to serve in his army? Maybe you would do that. You could raise your hand. You could come forward. You could say, yes, I want to do that. So, our hymn of invitation this morning, as we stand and sing, and remember what the invitation is, it's not for salvation.